Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No shortage of big games to talk about this weekend here on BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. If we have time, we may touch on UCLA, Indiana. UCLA on Big Noon after ripping off three consecutive wins. Maybe Virginia, North Carolina, because that's big for the Cavaliers to stay atop the ACC. BYU headed to Iowa State. We've mentioned that one as well. But let's focus on these three massive SEC matchups that we have. And it's interesting. SEC teams last year on the back end of playing consecutive conference road games went just 2-6. This year, in that same exact situation, they are 0-3 so far. So you head out on the road, the back end of those consecutive road games can jump up and bite you. And oh, by the way, there are no fewer than five teams in the SEC in that situation this weekend. Tennessee's at Kentucky, who, Choppy, I don't want to mention it, but Kentucky's been frisky a couple times this year at home. Texas, speaking of Kentucky being frisky, is headed to Mississippi State on the road. But the three big ones we want to focus on are the ranked matchups. A&M's at LSU, Ole Miss is at Oklahoma, Missouri is at Vandy. Let's start with Ole Miss and Oklahoma, John. Ole Miss currently still a favorite to make the playoff at -125. Oklahoma, 2-1. But John Mateer is back. Ole Miss, they apparently have found their quarterback. They've got the number one offense in the country, second in scoring, haven't allowed a sack in two of their last three games either, but Oklahoma is more than happy to provide a few of those. Number one in FBS in sacks and tackles for loss, and second in the SEC in third down conversion rate defensively, only allowing 25% conversion on third down. So with Ole Miss getting 4.5, 5.5 on the road at Oklahoma, is that enough? Is that just right? What do we feel about this one?
Yeah, I think there will be absolutely no appetite for the average bettor to bet Oklahoma in this spot. Like, who would want to do that? Who would want to fade Ole Miss right now? You know, especially with an Oklahoma team that, yes, took care of South Carolina, but looked absolutely awful against Texas. So I think Ole Miss will, you know, be of interest to a lot of people on game day. But I look at the under here because I do think this is it's the best defense in America in a lot of ways. And I think they are perfectly capable of turning. I mean, you saw kind of what Georgia did at the end of that game on Saturday. Like they gradually wore down that Ole Miss offense. And Oklahoma's defense is just better than Georgia's this year. So I do think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't want to back Oklahoma because I don't love their offense at all, but I do think that they will get stops defensively. So give me the under 53.5 here happily.
I'm on the under as well. I would probably be on Ole Miss if I was going to pick a side on this one. You know, the thing is that Oklahoma has to win this football game. Their schedule is not manageable the rest of the way if they don't win this game. They still have at Tennessee, at Alabama, home to Mizzou, home to LSU. They would have to win out if they don't win this one. Ole Miss, meanwhile, I think Ole Miss has like three games with the Citadel coming up after this one. Like they'll be fine. If they lose this game, they'll be okay. So that's another one of those things where it's like motivation matters in some of these games. And they're both motivated to win. But Oklahoma knows they don't have a parachute coming. Ole Miss got a parachute, and they can let the rest of the league and the rest of the sport kind of cannibalize itself, and they could sneak in the back door to the playoffs. So Oklahoma has to have this game. I just don't think – 5.5 seems like a really weird number. That seems way too much for this.
Yeah, it was 4.5 most of the week, got to 5.5 late in the week. The total, since both of you guys mentioned taking the under, started at, I want to say, 50.5, moved to 52.5, 54.5, and then has settled back to 53.5. So there's some fluctuation in the total market, but I tend to agree under, especially with the Oklahoma defense involved. I'll be honest, I love what we've seen from Trinidad Chambliss. I just keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And maybe it never does, right? Maybe nothing happens that can cause this kid to, to take a step back. But I think the schedule actually works in a weird way, in the opposite way that you're talking about there, Choppy. Like you said, Ole Miss is looking at this and saying, man, if we just get past Oklahoma, it's South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, and Mississippi State. We can coast to the finish line, boys. We're in the playoff. I wonder if that creates a little bit of a look ahead in a weird way where, if we can just get past Oklahoma. Whereas Oklahoma knows, hey, we're at home. We need to win this thing. The pressure is on us to keep this up every single week from here on out. You get another week of Mateer maybe shaking off some rust. I actually like Oklahoma. 5.5 might be a bit much for me, though. 4.5, I was uncomfortable with it, but thinking about it, you start to get out to 5.5, it's just a matter of time. We might get to 6 before kickoff, and I'm not laying that. I'm not.
Yeah, let's see what happens on game day. I think you're right. I mean, I think it probably gets to 6 before it gets back to 4. And then you'll just have to, make a decision there. But it's both team season. That's why I really like the under here, because it's going to be a very desperate game for both teams.
Speaking of people's seasons on the line, I don't know if Brian Kelly's season is on the line. That might be done already. Maybe. I don't know. Some people still think LSU can make the playoff. Is his job on the line? I don't know about that either. But they're at home at night in Death Valley, in Baton Rouge. They're 20-1 at home at night, LSU, under Brian Kelly. But here comes the number 3 team in the country. A smashing machine style defense that against this LSU offense. I mean, what's the team total on this? Because I'll take the under, whatever it might be, on LSU. Arkansas may have laid a bit of a blueprint for, hey, if you can get some explosive plays against A&M's defense, maybe you got a chance to hang around. I just don't see how LSU generates those explosive big plays. They're 84th in the country, John, in yards per game. 366 yards a game. A&M's defense is stifling at times. If it's only 2.5, I'll happily lay 2.5 with A&M, even on the road in Death Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, again, like, this is where betting is hard, because every logical – I mean, let's use logic here, right? We've watched both teams all year long. Texas A&M is 3 in the country. They have consistent quarterback play. They look great. LSU looks bad. Like, that score last week in Nashville was misleading. It was nowhere near that close. I mean, Vandy got whatever they wanted offensively, and that's supposed to be the strength, right? Defense is supposed to be the strength. Mm-hmm. But I could easily make the case that that was just a Diego Pavia problem. And as good as Marcel Reed is, he ain't Diego Pavia.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I just think this is tough. I mean, it's you know, Saturday night in Death Valley against an A&M team that is flying high. I don't have anything on it, but man, I'd be tempted by LSU money line, and I'll hate myself for the entirety of the game. And then it's one of those bets where it's like when if LSU, you bet LSU money line and it loses, you're like, what an idiot. What were you thinking? Of course it was going to lose. If it wins, you're like, you know, you feel like a smart guy, but that feeling's never, it doesn't compare. Like betting a side that you feel like makes you look smart versus when it loses and how stupid you feel is always way worse, if that makes sense. So I would be LSU money line or nothing, as crazy as all that sounds.
I'll tell you, I'm struggling with A&M in this one because they do have a stifling defense in College Station. They're allowing 41 points a game on the road. 40 to Notre Dame, 42 to Arkansas. I kind of like the over in this one. I'm still a Garrett Nussmeier truther. I am still a truther on that one. That's the right term, right? Yeah. I'm sure. Still in on Garrett. I like Nuss. You know, Brian Kelly, I mean, he's an offensive guy, is he not? Is he supposed to know what he's doing? I think that was a Pavia issue as well. With LSU last week, I think the over here plays. A&M will be able to score on them. They're a good enough offense. You know, I mean, you only need one team. You need one team to get to 30. I mean, A&M's allowing 41 on the road. So I think the over, actually, and I would probably lean on the LSU money line. I wouldn't touch the point spread here either way.
Interesting. Yeah, A&M's got a chance to really assert themselves as the tops in the SEC with a win here on the road in Death Valley. And again, laying less than a field goal, I think I'm in on the Aggies. As for the third big SEC ranked matchup on Saturday, it'll be an afternoon game in Nashville, 2:30 kick local time, 3:30 Eastern. First time College Game Day has been in Nashville in about 17 years. First time Vanderbilt has been ranked in the top 10 in, oh, I don't know, like 78 years, something crazy like that, 1947. But here's Vandy with Diego Pavia against Missouri at home, laying 2.5. You're talking about the 8th and 12th scoring offenses in the country, respectively. They're averaging a total of 80 points per game between the two. And we've got a total sitting in the low 50s, John. Is that too obvious, or do we think this thing somehow stays under?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vandy is capable of putting up points. I think the look I like better is just Vandy outright, minus 2.5. I mean, this is easy. I don't really understand this. I guess it's just one of those I'll pay to see it. This team's awesome. I wondered like how they would handle the moment last week against LSU, being favored for the first time against a ranked team. And then you're right. They handled it. They handled it like really, really well. Like they dominated that game. So I don't think they're going to be worried about this Missouri team. And I don't think they're a team that's going to like get fat and happy either. Like I think they want more. And I think they know that this is an opportunity to continue their, you know, telling their story and continue to climb the ranks and show the world that Vandy football is moving different in 2025. So I'm on the Pavia party, brother. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm on Vandy on this one. Plus, I got to root for him. You know, for the sake of my Vols, I need to get Missouri out of there. We got Vandy at home. Take care of business. We'll be fine. So I got to look at it for that. But I like the over. I like Vandy minus 2.5. It's a good football team. They're not just Diego Pavia either. They've done a really nice job. I mean, they're improving their stadium. They're doing a lot of construction there. They're trying to make it, you know, not look like a glorified high school stadium. They've done a really nice job of that. So I'm all in on Vandy this week. I think that they're gonna continue to roll. That's a good team. And Clark Lea is gonna be. I mean, he's either gonna walk in to his AD's office and demand a raise, or tell him that he's going to Florida. Or wherever.
Yeah. I'm going to be the contrarian here again. I just think I am. Because I want to see how, look, Missouri has been a time of possession, hog the ball kind of team all year until they played Alabama, obviously. And I want to see Vandy get off the field on third downs. I want to see them put Missouri behind the sticks in difficult situations so they can't lean on Ahmed Hardy to have another monster game. He's third in the country in rushing. I think if this doesn't turn into a track meet, okay, and look, all indications are it may. I think there's a lot of good points in looking at Vanderbilt and saying, yeah, they can put up points. But if Missouri can grind this thing out, if they can slow this game down, dominate, they don't even have to dominate time of possession, just win it by a minute or two, keep Pavia off the field, don't make any mistakes on offense, don't let Probula do anything stupid with the ball, lean on your run game, and conversely, like I said, stay ahead of the sticks, keep yourself in third and manageable, and I think they bring this thing under and at least keep it a football game. Or a field goal game, excuse me. I don't know if they end up stealing it outright. I'm not betting 115 on the money line on Missouri. If it gets to three, though, I'll be really tempted to bet the Tigers because I want to see I want to see Vandy prove it to me. I do. And that's not – I'm not saying I don't think they can. I think Vandy can prove it, and I think they can continue to roll. I think they can end up in the playoff. They can be one of those five SEC teams that we're talking about. I think it's all still ahead of them and all still possible. But I want to see it in this instance. And I think Missouri can make it really difficult for them. I may be wrong, and Vandy may run away and win this thing 41-34. They've done that. But I'm gonna be the contrarian here and make an argument for Missouri to keep it a field goal game, dominate that time of possession, like I said, lean on Hardy, lean on the run game, let Probula manage things from the quarterback position, and if not steal a win, at least make Vandy really uncomfortable towards the end of this one and maybe have to steal one themselves. There is a team that's red hot in the Big Ten, and nobody expected this, especially with a bunch of interim coaches. Problem is, they got to go visit Coach Google Me now. We talk about the UCLA-Indiana game next and take a look at some national championship odds as well here on BetMGMU.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.